Hello, this is Beth Martins, and I have the great privilege today of welcoming an amazing writer, author, and poet, Tanya Markle, who is in Denmark. And before we say hello to her, I'm just going to let you know what this is about, this interview. So I work with merpreneurs. This is a word I made up, and it means usually women, though not certainly not exclusively women, who are living their life's work, and at some level, they want to be valued for it. They are being valued for it. They're putting themselves out in a serious way that takes the life's purpose into the life's work. And I've watched Tanya's work for a number of years now. I've seen a series of incarnations. I've seen her go through trials and tribulations and do nothing but deepen into her life's work. And it's been such a pleasure to watch that I felt very inspired to get her on a call. We are in on two different continents here. I'm in Canada and she's in Denmark. Welcome, Tanya. It's so, so amazing to have you here. It's really a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm totally excited and I'm so grateful to connect with you.
What an amazing thing. We live in this world. You know, there's a lot of weird things about the world right now, which will probably come up. And then this is one of the really exciting ones where we have a chance to just see our tribe across continents and connect in this deep way, regardless of the distance.
Yes, definitely.
So as you know already, Tanya, from our discussion, I'm going to ask you some questions, and our audience doesn't know yet that these questions represent the merpreneur's journey. This is something that I've had some revelations about in the past years. You know how our life can, when we go through trials and tribulations, can precipitate new knowledge, right? Especially if that's your goal. Do you notice that, Tanya?
Absolutely. yes, to give the shortest answer. Absolutely.
Right, exactly. So that's my favorite game because, you know, I came for a life of a lot of, again, trials and tribulations and, you know, losses and intense moments. I'm a Scorpio. I don't know. Are you a Scorpio?
I'm a Sagittarius.
Okay. You're right on the heels of it. Yeah. So there's some of that.
Yeah.
And so we can sign up for a lot of transformation. And then that's, you know, it is not a given that going through intense things is going to make you transformed. It really isn't. I used to think that was the case because that's my mission. But I've seen a lot of people go through heavy stuff without changing. And then it comes back to that, oh, well, it's the choice of the soul. So that's my favorite thing to do with any kind of thing that has taken me down. And I've seen it from a distance with you, Tanya, which made me so, so interested in speaking with you. And that merpreneur's journey, so as we throw around that term, or I throw around that term, you know what we're talking about. It is that journey that it's like the hero's journey with a mermaid twist, right? So it's the...
I love that. That's exactly what I was thinking of, the hero's journey. Exactly. Yeah.
Right, exactly. The reason you're thinking of it is because it is the archetypal human journey. This is what every human on earth is going through. So, you know, I've known about the hero's journey for many years since university days on an intellectual level, and it wasn't until my mom passed away that I took it into my bones and my blood, and I felt this journey, and I suddenly felt like I could take people on this journey in a conscious way. We all are going on it at some level, and then when it's like anything that's somewhat submerged in the unconscious, when you get conscious, then all of a sudden, like boom, magic can start to happen. So this is the journey that I've noticed women in my community especially are going through in order to be valued for their life purpose, to really live through that, what they came to earth to do. And so that's what these questions represent. So Tanya, I'm going to jump right in if that's all right with you.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So was there a time, this is the nature child archetype, by the way. So this question comes through this innocent perspective, more innocent perspective that's connected as a force of nature. So was there a time when you had to overcome feelings of being naive or say in denial or being afraid of betrayal in order to jump into your work full time and with such purpose? And also, how did you get past it?
Yes, to every single one of those things.
All right.
You know, I could start telling the story back from when I was a child, but I think I'll go from more recent times, you know, as an adult, and really, I believe, jumping into my soul work that I knew what it was as a child. I knew that I was going to be some kind of writer, some kind of poet, because I started writing when I was 6 years old. And I stopped, you know, I stopped writing because of like tremendous loss and a realization of what I was born into. And that those were things like, you know, rejection and abandonment and abuse and neglect. So writing and creative expression stopped for a very long time in my life. And that was more for self-preservation. You know, I needed to protect myself. So
yeah.
Fast forward to, you know, the adult years, so to speak, just within the past, let's say, 5 years, I had experienced a tremendous betrayal.
Okay.
And I had been working on a project that was so close to my heart. I was working on it 24/7. It was my life. Mm-hmm. And it came to, it was a slow, you know, I could see all the red flags from the very beginning, but I ignored it because the vision was so beautiful and so aligned with what was in my soul. Mm-hmm. But the night that it was kind of, you know, it was kind of taken away from me while I was sleeping, literally, and I woke up and it was no longer mine. You know, my part of it was no longer mine. Mm-hmm. And I had to sit with myself for a really, you know, a really long time to understand who I was without it, because I had put so much of myself into this project that I didn't know who I was without it.
Wow.
You know, I had offered myself as part of it, and I'd offered, you know, what I consider, you know, my genius and my whole like authentic creative self. And when it was gone, I was like, who am I after, you know, after the debris is cleared, you know, because it was a tremendous fire in my life, and it was a tremendous stress, and it was a complete 360. And it was, in the way that it was done, it was completely unexpected.
Yeah.
And there were tons of emotions and a lot of, you know, anger and sadness. And, you know, looking back, of course, things could have been done, I believe, differently and better and more with compassion and love. But it wasn't. But I'm thankful for that process now, because if that didn't happen, if my whole entire, you know, empire wasn't burned to the ground, I would never have found myself. And that is where I was truly rebirthed as a writer and a poet.
Wow.
Because I had to find myself again. I had to find my voice. I had to find my creative outlet. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like, you know, I had broken down a dam, and like the waters were flowing. And I remember I started not writing for this other entity. I started writing for myself.
Yeah.
And the magnetism was something I didn't even expect, and not anything I was looking for either. I just needed to tell my story, and I needed to figure out how to find my way back to me and back to what I wanted to be offering the world.
Right. That's amazing, Tanya. That's amazing, because this is the whole message of the nature child, that we actually have to get betrayed, right? The shadow, the shadow isn't betrayal. The shadow is the avoidance of betrayal, which sometimes we can avoid it. And sometimes it's like you say, you wake up in the morning and the deed is done.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And literally, yeah. That's how it was done for me. And I love that you're saying this, and I wish someone would have, you know, I wish I would have known these words a long time ago, but in the moment, you know, and for a long time after, like there are barely any tendrils, you know, the tendrils will occasionally come back and I'll feel like they're wisps in my heart. And, but I'm completely healed from, you know, that experience. But mm-hmm. Where was I going with that? Yes. I, you know, for a long time, you know, my feeling towards it was like, F you, F the whole thing, F this person that I felt betrayed me. And now I am completely, completely like, thank you. Thank you so much. Like, yeah. I'm so glad that happened. You know, it was such a blessing.
Well, that's the thing. Awakening, it is the blessing. So the very thing that we're putting off, actually, it represents our freedom, right? I knew you through that transition, and I can witness, I can see how your own freedom, that word sovereignty really comes strong right now, that once you were your own sovereign being, it was a completely different level. Like I wouldn't have known the difference if I didn't see your next level, but you know, it just came exploding out of you. And in that freedom, there's something that's, magic. And what you're saying, by the way, in terms of not even wanting to give it back or change it in any way, leads so naturally into the next archetype, whose name is the Rebel. And you know, this is something that women can easily avoid, is getting into that, like, anger about it, being royally pissed off and having it move them, you know, having that fire move them to a completely new place. So if I could ask you a question about that, is there something that you consider to be your cause? Now, this doesn't have to be an organization or, you know, particular entity, body like that, but do you feel like you have discovered something, you know, a cause that makes you mad enough to really do something about it and be part of a change that you want to see in the world? Have you already told the story, or is there more?
Absolutely. I mean, I believe that what I stand for is, I want to be something, and I want my poetry and my prose and my quotes and my, you know, thoughts to be an outlet for others to share their emotions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to stand for this emotional revolution, emotional empowerment, emotional literacy. Mm-hmm. Yes. And more than anything, like, to hold space for all of that, you know, because I really believe, like, as women and, you know, as a human of the world, we are so repressed. Mm-hmm. With our emotions and with our expression, and we're taught that particular emotions are bad to have, and particular emotions are good, and there's so much, like, taboo with feeling anger and rage.
Yeah.
And it's just, it doesn't work in the world anymore. You know, it's like obsolete ways of being and living. You know, and I really want to liberate as many people as I can by sharing my own personal stories of pain and what has caused me so much shame and, you know, so much stagnancy and so much stuckness in my life, mm-hmm. to where maybe if someone reads some of my words, that they will start to think differently about what has happened to them, and perhaps start to think, you know, about the possibilities and the imagination of what they can do with that story of pain, trauma, you know, betrayal.
Mm-hmm. Amazing, right? Because that's the whole trajectory. Mm. That's a whole entire trajectory of the Merpreneur's journey, and of course the hero's journey, is to turn around and you know, based on what you have overcome, like, all of a sudden, it's inevitable, almost instantaneous. You want to help someone else. We do what you did. right? So it's like, yeah. So you're already prepared to go full circle in the first two archetypes, and we have six to go.
Great.
I love it. So the next phase being the build phase, again, I feel like I've seen you in this a lot, Tanya. You know, even when you and I first connected, you had your first babe in arms, brand new, and yet you were writing a book and you were running a blog and you're, you know, like editing, and I had this huge wheel turning. So this is about the warrior, and it's basically, where have you put in the muscle? You know, where have you put in the time to create and manifest and be that container for others to start to get the meaning of your work? And
God.
yeah, kind of being a champion for others. So yeah, go ahead, please.
Oh my God. I mean, I am like the original forest fairy. Like, I am the queen of multitasking. I've really discovered this about myself, and like, I have a ton of energy, but I think where it all comes from is that I have repressed myself for half of my life. You know, I have repressed my craft that came so naturally and came so, like, such a blessing at such a young age. Like, I knew what I wanted to do. You know, I knew that I wanted to write books when I was 6 years old. I wrote my first book at 6 years old.
Nice.
And I repressed it and I put it on hold, and it became like this huge, I don't want to say a pressure cooker, it just got stored away. You know, it got stored in this like giant locker somewhere. And like, now I feel as if I'm catching up, but there isn't, like, I'm not using it up. It just keeps coming and coming. And I feel like the more I reach what feels like truth to me, I feel like more keeps coming out. And like, I have two young children. I have an 8-month-old. I have a 4-year-old. I have a husband. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in an apartment. I'm part of my community. I do women's circles. I'm writing books, like you said. And I guess it's like, I have to do those things. Mm-hmm. I have to do those things to survive. And I write every single day. Mm-hmm. I write every single day, no matter what. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's just like a list of words or one sentence, like every single day of my life, I'm putting something into what I know is like healing and expressing my soul.
Amazing. Yeah. This is the time to put it, you know, to create that discipline, which is a word that everyone always runs away from, but that's the warrior place. It's just about putting that time in and getting steady and getting solid, taking on any fights that you can, and then it moves you into that next place, which I just heard the words come out of your mouth, which is the nurturer phase of the Murpreneur's journey, and where that you can now fly on the sails of that discipline that have created muscle for you that you have to fall back on, and you can move into a softer place with it, because women get scared of this. That, oh my God, it's going to be so much work, and it'll be that level of work into infinity, right? That you'll always be in this muscle build, muscle mode. And so the nurturer is an opportunity. Yeah. The nurturer, an opportunity to move into a softer, caring place, which unfortunately is not really soft for the nurturer, especially in their shadows. So this is really about helping people as a business, and you've said it several times already, you know, liberating people by sharing your stories. And so what do you experience are the challenges of being in a business helping people, also being a mother, right? You're very, very close to this experience right now, because you practically have to give over your whole life, especially to infants, to keep them alive. And then, like you said, you've got such a busy life. So where in maybe in your career or other place in your life have you struggled with boundaries and sometimes like quote unquote killing yourself to be there for others?
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, there's several things. I mean, I think for me, like I used to have the tendency, and I have the tendency, so I have to be really careful to burn myself out, you know, physically, right, emotionally for others. You know, people will ask me, and I used to feel like I had to say yes to everything. You know, every question, every invitation that came my way, I used to feel like I had to say yes, or I would be disappointing someone, you know, or losing out on that opportunity. Yeah. And that just, you know, that isn't the case. And also realizing that even though, you know, I really can tap into the warrior side of myself and, you know, open up myself to the energy of the universe, but it's not always necessary. You know, I don't have to be building five different things at the same time that I'm allowed to, and I can, and it's healthy and it's empowering and it's replenishing to take breaks and to also do one thing at a time, you know? And that can be really hard because I do feel like, you know, this life is precious and it is short. And I feel like once I got the taste of like my soulful work, mm-hmm, like I just want to keep going and I want to do it 24/7, but it is healthier and more empowering also for the energy that I'm putting out there for it to come in healthy doses, you know? Mm-hmm. So I really have to watch myself, and like, there is a lot of questions that come in, and there are a lot of like, you know, if you have a social media page or you have an email address, and when you start to get a lot of questions from people and a lot of suggestions, I used to want to take every single one of them on. I used to feel like I had to respond to every single comment on my social media pages.
Yeah.
And it can truly feel like a stress and a struggle. And a part of learning to hold space for your craft and to hold space for others is also not to feel like, sometimes you can just hold space for people's questions by not responding, you know, and just letting them express or suggest whatever it is they want to express or suggest. I hope that made sense.
Oh my God, it made perfect sense. And again, like, you're just singing through the archetypes here. I want to say several things at the same time. excuse me. So yeah, you just really said it, because the gift of having created that container for yourself, those boundaries, first of all, it gets you out of the secret resentment that we often feel when we're over responding to people or just simply working outside of our own boundaries. It's not that it would be over responding. It's just that, you know, when, especially when your audience became to a size that you couldn't logically respond to every single comment on every single post, you got 600 of them to deal with every day. And so, you know, getting not stuck in that place is such a huge gift. And it's exactly what you said. This is like so beautifully almost pre-scripted, as if we did this, but it lets you bring in that taste of your soul, is what the words that you said. Once your work is in healthy doses, then it's like graduating to the soul of your business, which is, in the Mirpreneur's journey, the lover archetype. And so I'm going to ask you a question about that. Yeah, like, amazing. I couldn't have scripted this better. And so, how do you feel like you discovered the soul of your business, so it became a voice for your truth, the beauty of who you are, and the love that you want to see in the world?
I mean, it really comes down to my own personal story of pain. And I know that it is my work to share that story of pain. And there isn't just one element to my story. There's many things that happened to me before, you know, I hit 18 years old. You know, my mother was, she was only 15 years old when she had me. So, you know, I have all these layers. I have the abandonment, I have rejection, I have addiction, divorce, alcoholism, death, loss, abuse, you know, being sexually assaulted. I have so many things that have happened to me at such a young age, and the fact, like I started writing when I was six, and I started writing about how I felt, and I would leave, you know, little scribbles and little lines for my grandmother to find. And the first book that I wrote when I was 6 years old was called Little Baby Boohoo, you know, and it was about a little baby who cried all the time. And that baby was me, you know. And then the next book I wrote when I was seven, it was about a princess who was going to take an adventure into the forest to find her prince. And that was a story about my mother who went into the forest. She never found prince, and she never came home, you know? So I know that my soul's work, and I knew it from a young age. I knew that despite what I had been born into, despite what was going on around me, despite what had happened to me, that I had something else to offer, that I wasn't going to follow in the footsteps of my ancestry, that I was the black sheep, that I was, you know, the weird one, I was the odd one out, I was the one that was completely different. So I've always known that. That was just, and knowing from a young age.
So beautiful. And that's the, like, kind of the magic act of the lover, is to take what looks like either nothing or something that's ugly or negative, and find the beauty in it, not as a way to cover over it, because you're never like that when you're sharing your story in terms of like trying to rose color it or something like that. But it's the art makes it beautiful, right? Like your spirit, having come through this, all these negative experiences, so-called negative, well, not so-called, they are, let's call it what it is. But you've made it a thing of beauty. You've made your life a thing of beauty out of the, you know, the grist of that mill, if I said that correctly. Grist? Grist.
I think so.
The word person. So beautiful. So then that lover experience gives rise to the next level of the Merpreneur's journey very nicely and easily, and it almost slides right into the hedonist, which tends to have a bad rap in culture in general, because, you know, pleasure seekers are, you know, can run amok. And we also have a whole level and layer in our world right now of very unnatural pleasure seeking and promoting. And so it can muddy those waters a lot in people's own relationship with their pleasure. But this is the time when your life's work and the business of it can turn into a thing of first beauty and then deep pleasure. This is something, you know, where you get to do what you want, which is unusual. That's most people actually in this slave society that we live in don't have that luxury, or have not created that luxury for themselves as you have. And so, of course, like the light and the dark of the pleasure, are there experiences where you've struggled with pleasure, and it can go to extremes, right? Where we either we go for it in a kind of addictive way, compulsive way, or we actually deny ourselves those pleasures in our business and our life. So where might have that shown up for you, and how did you have a breakthrough around it?
Yes, I mean, when I started to, you know, write for myself and started to share, you know, some of my work, which, by the way, wasn't my greatest work, I will say, but it was something I had to share to break the shell, you know, that I was in. And I'm sure this is true for all of us. You know, we learn as we go, and we look back on ourselves and we're like, oh my God, who was that person? But when I first started writing for myself and sharing my own work, I got a lot of followers and a lot of likes really fast. Nice. And it was unexpected. It was really unexpected. And I could feel myself starting to, you know, and that feels good. There's a lot of pleasure in being seen and being approved of and being liked, right?
Exactly.
And I kind of felt myself starting to, you know, share my work, and then I would look for the numbers and I would look for the likes and the comments. And
right.
I, you know, and that can be such a high. It is such a natural, pleasurable high. And I allow myself to feel that, you know, I allow myself to be seen. I allow myself to be loved and liked and even criticized. It's all a blessing. It's all a gift. Mm. But I think there was a fine line for me where, you know, I ask myself constantly, you know, am I writing for these numbers or am I writing for the truth of my soul? Mm. And I have to come back to writing for me, because that's where the deepest pleasure is. And that is where the deepest healing is, because that's what I ultimately want. You know, I want to keep healing this body, healing this life, and, you know, following the direction of my soul.
Right. Oh, amazing answer. Holy mackerel. And it's so true. Awakening is the deepest pleasure. That's the thing. That's the magic of the hedonist, to get to that place where you see that, not compulsively seeking. And this is a beautiful example, what you're showing of that approval of others that can be so addictive in a business that we end up in an utter trap because of it. You know, it's as trapped as any kind of comfort zone becomes, because the moment you go to step out of it and someone disapproves or you lose likes or whatever it is, then you're going to backtrack. You're not going to go forward with your core truth of your soul. So that's amazing. And leads very naturally into the next archetype, who I have named the maternal leader. She's a kind of royal archetype if you're looking in a little bit more generic context. And I called it this because it's not the Genghis Khan ruler that rules over. It's the one that rules like a mother, who is concerned for the well-being of all in the family or the community or the culture at large that she's taking responsibility for. And so was there a time, speaking of responsibility, that you decided you were going to take more of that on in your work, where, you know, things grew out of a more manageable level and you allowed a greater thing to be there for your people, your tribe, your followers, clients, the people that consume your work, that buy your books? How did you manage to get to that place? And then you're already kind of answering that question. How did you manage being followed and being adored where in that leadership place you attract that?
I knew that I wanted to do something more because of the response that I was receiving. And it's not just like because I was receiving 100 comments, you know, just a few sincere comments and connections made me want to go to a different place. And I offer an online creative writing and expression course. You know, I've been doing that this is my second year.
Yeah.
And, you know, another thing that has taken me even deeper is I've wanted to serve the women in my community. And about just 2 years ago, I started hosting women's circles with another local woman here.
Nice.
And, you know, it has become very intimate, you know, and it invites me to cross a threshold of, am I walking my talk? Mm-hmm. You know, am I living what I'm really offering the world? And it has been so rewarding and challenging as well, like a healthy, beautiful, like revealing a challenge to put myself out there, because I've also been, like I said, really repressed and really shy and really afraid of being seen and really afraid of being, you know, successful. So it's really just been taking myself to the next phase of what I want to be doing. And just in the past, you know, year, I've also been doing a lot of public speaking, which is extraordinary. And to answer your question, like about how do I handle being followed and adored? I mean, I mean, it's an amazing feeling, but like for me, I just want to be myself, and I don't want to change myself to try to fit any kind of image. And, you know, I live here in Copenhagen, and it's a really small, it's a small country. It's a small city. There are 5 million people living in Denmark. There's 2.3 million people living in the city. Mm. And it's really small compared to, you know, other parts of the world, but people see me here when I'm out, you know, for a walk. They'll see me when I'm out, you know, in the woods somewhere, and I'm in a pair of like sweatpants, and, you know, I don't have any makeup on, and like, I don't care. Like, I just, you know, I buy stuff at flea markets, and, you know, I buy stuff off Facebook Marketplace, and there are people that recognize me. They're like, hey, aren't you, you know, that woman who wrote the She book, or aren't you that woman on social media? I follow you on Instagram. And I'm just like, yeah, that's me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's just important to me to feel like, to accept that love and adoration. I feel like I have to be grounded in order to really accept it fully. So I just want to be myself and be loved in that way, not because I'm trying to be someone else.
There's such freedom in that. I can really hear it in your voice. Amazing. Amazing. And that's just, it's so fearless. Like, you're walking awake. You're going like, okay, take me as I am, or don't take me. I'm still doing this.
So yes,
I love that. I love that. And so we're coming towards the end of the Merpreneur's journey. So once the maternal leader gets past those tests of power, which really they are, she can call on the alchemist, because the alchemist has a very high value for social justice, in addition to all the magic powers that start to show up. You know, it's not the time of the muscle anymore. It's not the time of literally slaving to be a servant and look after people. It's not even that time of standing and being the leader and having people follow you and take your example. It turns into a much more magical journey. Tanya, you are a magical creature for sure. That's like, of course, the first thing you see when you look in on your world. It's like, oh, it sparkles. Okay, awesome. And there's many things I could ask you about this, but the most magic trick, the most incredible magic trick of all, is that of wholeness, right? That's the basis of alchemy, is to marry the opposites, to take what we think to be not only separate, but even in opposition to each other in our own self, and come into that wholeness. So was there a time when you feel like you're, you know, you in your business and your expression, your life's work, took on that quality of wholeness, where you could be that unique self that you're talking about already?
Yes. I mean, I feel like this started with motherhood for me. Mm. And I feel like it's still going, like I'm still blossoming and revealing this wholeness. Yes. And the beauty of motherhood is, as you know, it's not easy. You know, you're raising another human being, and it takes a lot of your time, your energy, your body, your spirit. Yeah. But it also, like, for your craft, what I have found is, like, there's no time for BS. So being a mother has really allowed me to polish my work, you know, polish my vision, polish my words, and has made me even more, I feel, of like a real compassionate person. And having children has also given me the confidence to want to stand for people who don't have a voice, or whose voices aren't being heard. And, you know, since I've had my first child, I've been involved in, you know, women's groups. I've been doing work here in Scandinavia to give a voice to immigrant women. Mm-hmm. You know, I just did a fundraiser for hungry children in America, and wow, I don't want to stop. You know, I feel like my artistry, my creativity, my words can absolutely be woven and braided with the action of helping others more than just, you know, writing a book, that there are things that I can weave and braid into what I'm doing to really make a difference in my community and like broader community in the world.
Amazing. Amazing. That's so beautiful, because that's exactly the, you know, the capacity that you have at this stage, where you have access to magic and you've seen transformation in yourself and you've seen it, your work transform others. And you actually want to be that instrument for social justice that you're describing right now. So what a beautiful thing. So I have one more question for you. This is a biggie, and it's the whole purpose of the Mirpreneur's journey, that awakening into just seeing, okay, you know, all is not right in this world, especially where nature is concerned. Things have been turned upside down. We're, you know, we live in a world that is basically run by psychopaths, and they're trying to kill us. So, you know, okay, let's just call it what it is, see it for what it is. And how do we turn it around? How do we return humanity back to a natural state where we can see, you know, like a few months ago, I literally found myself weeping out of the desire to see what it would be like to have a natural life. And I'm not talking about Birkenstocks and, you know, that kind of stuff, but it was like, what would our weather actually be like if it wasn't so incredibly manipulated? What would our thought space be like if it wasn't full of microwaves and signals and you know, subliminal messages from every 5,000 ad we see, the one of the 5,000 ads that we see every day, on and on. So, What is your vision for that? How do you see humanity being able to actually make that turn? And I always say, no pressure after this.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like there's two things, and one of them is like my theme. It's written on, you know, my personal Instagram page, and I truly believe that the pain that makes us the odd one out is the story that connects us to a healing world. I think that If all of us could really just invite the possibility of acknowledging and feeling and understanding that the pain that we have, no matter what it is truly what connects us to a world that wants to heal, that our pain isn't here to, you know, bring us down. Yes, it has a gestation period and it has an incubation period, but it is something that can turn into soulful purpose, mm-hmm. and can make a difference for the way we live our lives personally and how we live collectively, you know? Mm-hmm. And the second thing is the use of our imagination. You know, I feel like the and I do this too, you know, I go nuts on Netflix sometimes, but what we see on TV, what we hear on the radio, like you mentioned, all of the ads, the way that most education systems are formed, the way most society, like societal norms are created, are really so without imagination. Mm-hmm. You know, they're so obsolete and stagnant, and just they're based on fear. They're based on scarcity. They're based on, you know, a repressed anger and rage and not enoughness. And
yeah.
Single day of using our imagination, We could create a better way to live and a different way to live. I think that most of us feel stuck and we feel hopeless because we don't have the confidence to use our imagination to get to the other side, you know, to get to the other side of pain, to get to the other side of the way we are all living right now.
Yeah. And spoken very, very succinctly and truly through this alchemist. That's exactly the script of the alchemist. It's amazing that the imagination is the door to get past that stuck and hopeless place. also the pain. I can absolutely, you know, that we run from pain. We have been taught, you know, why don't we learn in kindergarten or earlier that a pain is, you know, you can actually at some level even get excited about it because you know that there's freedom on the other side, right? There's greater energy. There's greater capacity for love. And yet we just habitually run and escape from our pain. And then as a result, we run and escape from our imagination, which is that, you know, like, I love what you're saying. If everybody turned into their creator and moved away from that consumed place, then, right, we would be thinking for ourselves. And that's the problem. That's how humanity got into this place in the first place. We stopped imagining for ourselves what the possibilities could be.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So brilliant. Wow. What an incredible life you've had. What an incredible woman you are. And I would love my listeners to be able to find your work. And can you tell us what are the best ways to buy your book, to read more about your projects that you've got on the go, the Thug Unicorn blog? Can you tell us all about that and your writing course as well?
Definitely. Yes, absolutely. You can find me on Instagram. I'm at Thug Unicorn and at Tanya Markle. My writing course is at eatmystardust.com. My Facebook page is at Thug Unicorn by Tanya Markle. And you can purchase the She Book on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. It's an amazing book. I had to gift it as soon as I got it. And so I need another copy now, but it's like an amazing, amazing
book. I'll send you another copy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I would.
Thank you.
I would totally love that. What a pleasure it's been. So thank you so much for everyone who's joined us to hear this Mirpreneur's journey through the eyes of Tanya Markle and her life, her very, very sincere and artistic life that started when she was 6 years old, knowing that she was going to be a writer. And here you've completely manifested and begun to really live for others, because that is the, or not just begun, but you've been doing this for some time, because that is the whole point, is to turn around and whatever we have struggled with is a very natural way to help others. And that's how this life works in such a beautiful flow. So if any of the listeners out there are interested in going on the Mirpreneur's journey themselves, please do connect with me as well at bethmartins.com. A live course has just begun, but it's not too late to jump on, and I'll be sharing this this in time to connect with me about that course. So thank you, Tanya. It's been an absolute pleasure to spend this time with you Sunday morning.
Thank you so much, Beth, for reaching out to me and holding this incredibly safe space for me to share with you. I feel so honored, and you know how I feel about you. I think you're an amazing woman, and I love you. Thank you so much.
Oh, totally mutual. My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you. Can't wait to see where all of this goes next for you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye for now.
Bye.